Mark chapter 2. The only thing bad about teaching Sunday school is you miss the morning message. And that's all Kathy talked about was the morning message. And he sends it to me, so I'll have to really read this one. But I love to hear preaching. Mark chapter 2. I hope this message encourages you, helps you, stirs you up a little bit about serving the Lord. So we're going to read 12 verses out of Mark chapter 2. The Bible says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this situation, this event that we find in the Bible, a true story of a man who was brought to Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you just help me to preach it. I pray that the things that I want to get across, Father, the things that you want to get across, that you'd speak for me, Lord, and help me tonight. I pray you'd open the hearts of everyone here, that they'd hear from you tonight. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we read about one man that was brought to Jesus Christ. And it says he's palsied, which means he's paralyzed. His joints are twisted and he can't move. And isn't that what sin does to us? It paralyzes us. But he's also one soul. He's one soul that needed to be brought to Jesus Christ. You know, that's how we all came to Jesus, just one at a time. We come to Jesus. Someone helped us to get to Jesus. So there's a lot to look at, you know, in this event. There's a lot of truths that we can pull out of this story. There's a lot of lessons to learn about serving God in here. So the message really is about personal responsibility. Your own personal and my own personal responsibility to bring people to Jesus Christ. So we need to bring the lost to Christ. We need to work together to do that. It's not only our duty, but it's a privilege to serve God. Amen? Amen. So I've titled the message, Holding Your Corner. Just holding your corner. Responsibility. You know, people just don't wander in to meetings. Usually they don't just come in. Before I got saved, I just didn't go to church. Unless I was a little boy, my mother took me to church. But later on, when I was a man, I didn't go to church. I had no desire to be in a meeting. People have to be brought. People have to be invited. People have to be compelled to come in and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because we're sick. We were sick. We were palsied. We couldn't go. We didn't want to go because we were blind and lame. And there was no reason for us to go to church. That was not where we wanted to be. They had to be brought to Christ. We had to be brought to Christ. And you know, we were all in that condition, weren't we? We all needed help. Somebody had to bring us to Christ. So we're going to look at this and see what it means in some of these verses here, what it means to hold your corner. And number one, look at verse 1 and 2. It means getting the word out. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door." So we got to get the word out. The Bible says it was noised abroad. Now this is... The Bible says, again, he entered into Capernaum. So Jesus had already been in Capernaum. He was healing people and preaching the word of God. And then he went out into a desert place, and they still kept coming to him. So he went back into Capernaum. In fact, that's where he healed Peter's mother of the fever. Peter's wife's, his mother-in-law. I still don't know why he did that, but that's a joke. That's a joke. Aren't you glad for mother-in-laws? Mine's not here. Anyway, he's back in Capernaum now. But you know what? They made a noise about Jesus being in the house. They got the word out that Jesus was here. And I'm asking you, is Jesus here tonight? Amen. He is. He's here in our hearts. And people out there should know that. They're not going to know unless we tell them. And when they did tell them, there was people all over the place and spilling out the door. But we're not telling them. We're not holding our corner. And you can hold your corner by simply telling people that he's in our church, he's in our homes, he's in our hearts. We have to make some noise. We have to get the word out and tell people. They're not going to know unless we tell them. We're supposed to be a light in this community. We're the only light in this community, as far as I can tell. We're the only church. There might be some others, but that aren't preaching the true gospel, you see. So we're the light in this community. We're supposed to be a city set on a hill. We're the light of the world, the Bible says. So we need to get the word out to your friends, to your family, to your co-workers, to your neighbors. How many of your neighbors know that you came to church tonight, that you go to the Bible Baptist Church? The youth group, how many of your friends know that you're in church tonight, know you're Christians? Do you get the word out and let them know what you do on Sundays? Come on. That's all the palsied man knew. Somebody said, Jesus is in that house again over there and he heals people. Somebody told him. Isn't that simple? Just getting the word out. And the whole house was filled till they were spilling out the door. We need to fill this house. We need to be a city set on a hill. Let everyone know who, what, where, and why, what we're doing here. I mean, we are coming here for a reason, aren't we? Let's tell those people out there. Someone told you, someone told me. Make a noise. Make some noise. Cry out. People will come. You can do that by handing out tracts, inviting people to the Christmas dinner, just all the events that are happening in this church and all the special meetings. Number one is just get the word out. Okay? Get the word out. That's number one. Number two, holding the corner means standing with the preacher. Standing with the preacher. You see what it says in verse 2? The last line there? After he got everybody in there, after all these people came, it says, and he preached the word unto them. I love that. Jesus gets all these people, and they're all in there, and they're waiting for him to do something, and what does he do? He preaches the word of God, and the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, God saves people when they believe. By the foolishness of preaching. We need to stand with the preacher. When he's up here preaching the word of God, stand with him. The word of God is what the world needs. They don't need their ears tickled. You don't need to be entertained. And you don't need your ear tickled. Turn to 2 Timothy. Keep your finger here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he's charging. Paul's charging Timothy. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I think we're there right now. You better hold on to your King James Bible. Amen. And sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And there's plenty of teachers that would love to tell them what they want to hear. Tickle their ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. When the man of God gets up here, when pastor stands before the pulpit and preaches the word of God, stand with him. If he's preaching the truth, amen. And uphold him in prayer and say, that's what we need. We don't need to be entertained, and we don't need our ears tickled. You can go down to the church down the street and find that maybe. But we ought to stand with a preacher that's going to stand by the King James Bible and then preach it to us. Man, I think that's good. What did Jesus do when he got a crowd? He preached the word unto them. I wish I was there to hear that kind of preaching. Well, we hear it every Sunday, preaching from the word of God. We hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Jesus had something to say they hadn't heard before. He was preaching unto them the gospel of the kingdom. And we have a gospel to preach. I think that's good. Look at Romans chapter 10. Don't get mad at the preacher when he steps on your toes or rubs the cat the wrong way. Turn the cat around. Stand with the preacher when he preaches the truth. We all have been there when the preacher preaches something and it's right out of the Bible and it hits us right between the eyes. Just go get along with God and get right. But don't condemn the preacher. He's just preaching the word. Stand with the preacher. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, the preacher has to be sent. But in order for that person to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, he first has to believe. And in order to believe, he has to what?
Hear.
And in order to hear, he needs a what?
Preacher.
And he needs, that preacher needs to be sent. All I'm saying is, stand with the preachers who have been sent to preach the word of God. Because that's how people will hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's how they'll call on the name of the Lord. Amen. They have to believe. And the only way for us to believe is to hear the word of God. It's a simple gospel, but it needs to be preached, and we need to stand with the preacher. There's churches that don't. There's people that don't. But we have a preacher who preaches the book, and we ought to stand with him. That's one way to hold your corner. That's what Jesus did. Stand on the truth. I'm thankful we have the incorruptible word of God in our hands. You see, 400 years of fruit, and we get to preach it. People hear the truth. Amen? Hold your corner means working together. Number three, just working together. Look at verse 3, back in Mark chapter 2. Back in Mark chapter 2, look at verse 3. It says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Which was born of four. Sinners need to be brought to Jesus because they're sick in their sin. They won't come on their own. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I wasn't looking for him. He was looking for me. And he found me. But see, you need to hold your corner. It took four. It took more than one person. That palsied man was born of four. So where's all my helpers? Get up here. We have a palsied person in our midst. She even knew who she was. Look at that. She knew who she was. We're missing somebody. Get over. Now, no. First of all, let's just have... Why don't you just pick her up and bring her over here? Yeah. You can't do it? No. All right, you help her then. You can help her. Come on, you got to bring her over to the door. All right, don't you give her a hand. Come on, bring her over. We're getting better. Gina, bring the palsy person over here. This is the doorway. All the way over. This is all the way to the doorway of the house. Jesus is in here preaching. Stop. Good. They brought her all the way. You see, born of how many?
Four.
It took four people to bring this man to Jesus. Now you have to take her up on the roof. Go ahead. We're waiting. Make sure. Very good. Put her down. She is scared to death in there. Go ahead. Thank you so much. I just wanted to show you. I mean, one person, I did it up in Waterford, where nothing good happens in Waterford, right? And they started to drag her across the floor, and I went, no, drag her. You got to pick her up. It's just an illustration to show it takes more than one person.
Yeah.
If Cahal was here tonight, he'd tell you that Joseph pulled up alongside of him in some of the Wednesday night meetings and just would pull up alongside of him, and I think Dennis too, and just talk to him about the Bible and Jesus. Yeah. And then he said, Eddie. Eddie came, he prayed with Eddie, and all Eddie did was talk to him about Jesus. Kept telling him about how to be saved. And then we had an opportunity to get him over to the house. And Graham and I sat with him for about 2 hours, and he finally got saved right there in the sitting room. He got on his knees and asked Jesus to save him. And he said, you know, I was thankful for Eddie and for Dennis and for, who was the other person?
Joseph.
And he said, Graham, he said, was able to give me some Catholic background and clear some things up as a Catholic that I needed to know about Jesus Christ, the true gospel. And he said, Dan, you were able to show me some scriptures in the Bible. It just takes a lot of people to bring somebody to Jesus. It's just not one person. It's a track and a seed and some water, and God gives the increase. But we have to work together. We had to work together. He was born of four. Be faithful to do your part. You know, just being here tonight is holding your corner. Someone needs to see you in church tonight. It encourages me to see you in church tonight. Reading your Bible is holding your corner. Praying for each other is holding your corner. Doing the tea and coffee is holding your corner. Discipling someone is holding your corner. Strumming a guitar. I could go on and on and on, and teaching Sunday school. And just pulling up alongside somebody and opening up the Bible is holding your corner. Crèche. Every time someone spends the time in crèche with those kids, they're holding their corner. Those kids are with two saved people that talk about Jesus the whole time they're in there. Now that's good. They're holding their corner. You go to the nursing home, you go out on RU. I mean, I gotta list this long of things. There's so many things to help, that you can do to hold your corner. It's working together. You know how to get him on the floor? Go up and say, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I'd like to just help out in any way I can. He'd probably have a coronary. To just go up and say, what can I do? How can I hold my corner? He'd be floored. Find a ministry and help. Serve. And remember, once you got hold of the corner, don't let go. Because when you do, you're letting go of a soul.
That's right.
You're letting go of a soul.
David.
Hold on to the corner. Don't give up. Look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 7. Jesus talks about faith. And then in verse 7, Luke 17, 7, he says, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. After you have done everything, here the servant goes out into the field and does everything he has to do, and then he doesn't come in and sit down. He serves the master. Where's no sitting time now? This is serving time. You see? So we're not going to sit down on the job. We're not going to drop our corner. Now's the time to serve God. Because when you get to heaven, you won't win any more souls, Eddie.
Right.
You got to win them now. You won't pray for any more souls when you're in heaven. You got to pray for them now. You better hold your corner now. Because now's the only time you're going to be able to do it. And we find out, Steve Currington was one, you can be gone like that. 45 years old. There's many of us well over that, huh? Hey, I'm just telling you, don't think you did a whole lot. Just keep holding your corner.
Amen.
Because you're holding on to a soul. Amen?
Amen.
And now's the time to do it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 says, Paul's speaking here about, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Guess who you're laboring with? God.
Amen.
He's building His church, and then we get to work with Him to continue to build it. We're His work, and we're doing His work. Holding your corner. Holding your corner. We are one. The one that plants and the one that watereth is one. And God gets all the glory when he gives the increase and that soul gets saved. We're laboring with God. Amen. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Hey, you want an example of a laborer? Just look at Jesus. All he did was serve. All he did was do the will of his Father. He never sat down on the job. Aren't you glad he didn't sit down when it came time to go to the cross? We owe him a great debt and we'll never be able to pay it. But we have some time now to serve him, you see, and be a laborer in his harvest. You know, the Bible is so clear that the harvest is plenteous. Current, right now, it is plenteous, but the laborers are presently, right now, few. We ought to pray the Lord of the harvest that it will send forth more laborers into his harvest. Number four, holding your corner means compel them to come in. Compel them to come in, amen? Verse 4, Matthew chapter 2.
Mark.
Have you been looking at my message again? Mark chapter 2, and in verse 4. Verse 4 says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. We have to compel them to come in. You can't make excuses. You can't stop because somebody shuts the door in your face when you go out soul winning. Or even your brother doesn't want to hear it for the 40th time about how to be saved. Or your family doesn't want to hear it. Or everything that we do for the Lord, sometimes it falls on deaf ears, doesn't it? And there's a lot of obstacles and a lot of hindrances that we run into. But don't stop.
Amen.
You can't stop with the person at the door. She couldn't get in. I mean, they couldn't get this man in. They had to go up and get on the roof and tear the tiling off in order to drop him in. I'd say that's compelling them to come in. I'm saying that's holding your corner. I'm saying that's doing all that they could do to get this soul to Jesus Christ. Where have we dropped our corner in this? One little rejection, one little problem in the ministry, and I don't want to do that. I'm offended. And we drop our corner. It's about Jesus Christ and about that soul. It's not about us.
Amen.
It's about Him. And the one that we're trying to hold the corner for. Shame on us all the times we get offended about everything. And we stop serving God. Keep trying. Whatever it takes. That's what the Bible's showing us here. Whatever it takes. Tearing a roof off to get somebody to Jesus. Holding your corner. Time, money, work, getting hurt. You ever been there? It costs to serve the Lord. You should have counted the cost. That's what it says. Count the cost of serving God. Don't be dismayed by obstacles. They let the bed down. Don't give up. Look at Luke 14. Luke 14. Remember, they went out and invited all these people to the dinner. And they all made excuses why they couldn't come. And the servant came back, and in verse 22 it says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in to my house, that it may come in, that my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. He said, go out and compel them to come in. What does it mean to compel? It means show them how necessary they need to be here. They need to come into the kingdom of heaven. They need to be born again, you see. Tell them and be urgent about this thing. They have to be saved. Where are people going to spend eternity if they don't get saved? Hell. Now, if there was a fire in here, I know, I don't cry fire because they'd set off all the alarms. But if there was a fire in here, you don't say, fire, fire, everybody get out, get out. You're going to burn. Your flesh is going to burn off your body, so get out when you can. No. Fire! You'd go to the house, get out! Try to get away up there and get in the window and get the kids out that might be in the top floor. You would do anything you could to get those people out of that fire. But we let them drop into hell every day because we drop our corner. Because we're not compelling them to come in. We're all guilty of this at times. We're not compelling people to come in. We're not being forceful about it. We're not urging them to come in. Jesus said, I want my house filled. So go out and compel them to come in. Hey, they uncovered the roof. You don't fight a house fire with a water pistol. The fire brigade doesn't come out and go, squeak, 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 and try to put the house fire out. Can't do it. You gotta compel people to come in, okay? That's holding your corner. Now look, holding your corner, go back to Mark chapter 2. Holding your corner means realizing there's going to be opposition. I'm just trying to stir you up. This whole thing encouraged me to just keep holding my corner. Amen. I know that sometimes, I'm not working together maybe properly with someone, or another time maybe I'm not standing with the preacher, right? But all of these are helping me, stirring me up to hold my corner for what God wants me to do. Because we read in 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to have to answer for what I did, not for what you did or didn't do. I'll have to answer for me. And in Mark chapter 2, in verse 6, the Bible says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? See, right away, there was opposition. Right away, somebody's sitting there thinking in their heart. Oh, they're not saying it. They're thinking it in their heart. Who does he think he is? Who can forgive sins but only God? He's evil speaking, this man. He thinks he can forgive sins. Never voicing it, it's all right here. And what does Jesus know? He knows what's in your heart, and he knows what's in my heart. He knows what we're thinking, you see. But I'll tell you, just realize there's going to be opposition out there. But don't worry about the opposition. Just keep serving God. Amen? Because you're in the devil's territory. He doesn't like it when we hold our corner. He likes it when we drop the corner and go do what we want to do. And when there's some opposition out there about whatever you're doing for the Lord, and the devil's happy with that, because if we get offended, or if we drop our corner, just realize there's going to be opposition. Jesus faced opposition all the time from the religious folk. Look, you have an adversary. He's the devil. And the people out there, just like we were, if you're not saved, you're a child of who? You're a child of the devil. They don't want to hear the gospel. You didn't want to hear the gospel till finally it started sinking in, the truth. And then you understood, and then you finally believed, if you're saved here tonight. But Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Are people out there lost, or are they born again? They're lost. They're blinded. The devil is opposing you. Every effort you make to snatch somebody out of that fire, he's going to oppose you. He's going to try to keep you from holding your corner. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Tony, you got that? You want to go ahead and read that? Amen. That's why God sent Paul. He said, "I sent thee to open their eyes." Why? Because their eyes are closed. They're blinded. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And that only happens by us preaching the gospel and holding our corner. And God opens their eyes. And God turns them. And we get to see them turned from to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. So, there's opposition out there. The opposition is because people are blind. They don't want to hear the gospel. People don't receive you at the door and say, "Please, preach the gospel to me." They don't want to hear that. They're caught up in their lives just like we were. But aren't you glad somebody kept coming or kept talking to you about Jesus, and somebody kept compelling you to come to church to hear the gospel? I'm so glad that John Mitchell just kept knocking on my door every Tuesday night. And finally it sunk in and I got saved because he held his corner. Don't give up on somebody because somebody didn't give up on you. Amen. There's going to be opposition. The religious crowds out there, they don't like the gospel we preach. They preach a different gospel. But there's only one, Galatians 1 says, "And if you preach anything else besides the gospel that I gave you," Paul said, "according to this book, you're cursed. I don't care if it's an angel from heaven." There's only one gospel, right? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe in him, not any works attached to that whatsoever. It was the work that he did on the cross. He did the finished work at the cross. He paid for our sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him, not by any works that you do. That's the gospel that we preach. And the religious crowd doesn't like that. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. You don't think people are going to oppose you? They oppose Jesus. In verse 3 it says, he gets done speaking to them in the synagogue. In verse 3, here they are. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house." Isn't it amazing? The people closest to you sometimes, they're the ones that are upset with you. And they're angry. They're offended at you. "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Joseph's son?" You know? I mean, isn't this just Tony? Isn't this just Eddie? Doesn't he work at the chop house? Who is he? And they oppose you. But you come with the gospel. Realize that's going to happen. But you keep living not only with your lips, but with your life. And you show them a transformed life. And you keep preaching the gospel despite the opposition. In spite of the opposition. In fact, believe me, they're listening more than you know. They're listening to that message too. You'll find it difficult right in your own neighborhood. Now look, a lot of times I see somebody get saved, especially an Irishman. It's hard to go back into your neighborhood and start preaching to your neighbors. Isn't it? It is. It's hard. You know, you come out of something, it's almost like a Jewish person leaving the faith or something. You know? It's hard to go back and knock on the door. What are you talking about, Graham? Or, Graham? And you're talking about the gospel. You're talking something that's foreign to them and they don't want to hear it and they're wondering, that's where the difficulties are going to be. There's going to be opposition out there. But you know what? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, right? And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh us for the reason for the hope that is within us with meekness and fear. I butchered that verse pretty good. But you know, you need to sanctify the Lord in your heart. That means set him apart in your heart. If Jesus is always set apart in your heart, if he's always first in your heart, it won't be hard for you to keep holding your corner when the opposition comes because you're thinking about him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Anytime I've had opposition, it always drove me closer to Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we all face it, not just preaching the gospel, just being a Christian. Sometimes you get reproaches. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 10, Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It drives us to a greater dependence upon God. When we're opposed and we feel weak in the flesh, that's good. Be strong in the spirit and you'll have a greater dependence upon God. Remember that it's a spiritual battle and you need to put on the spiritual armor. It talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. That's what's going to help you when the opposition comes. But don't drop your corner when opposition comes. It's going to come. Realize that. Jesus knew it was going to come. They didn't even have to mouth the words. He knew it was in their hearts. But don't drop your corner. Hold your corner. Holding your corner means having faith that God will save. Having real faith that God will do something. Turn back to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, and in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Look at verse 9. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth and before them all, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God. You see, faith. You know, when Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? I think it was the palsied man. He let himself be taken there. He wanted to get to Jesus because he was sick. He was palsy. He wanted to get healed physically. But I think the people that carried him knew where to take him too. They said, let's get this palsy man and let's get him to Jesus because we know he can do something. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you really realize Jesus can do something for your lost family members? He really can save them. Sometimes we act as if he doesn't. Sometimes we act as if he won't do anything. They're not going to get saved. Jesus can't do anything in this situation. Oh, yes, he can. He can. We have to have faith that Jesus Christ will work in the situation that we're dealing with. Have faith. These men had faith even to the point of taking him up on the roof and tearing off the roof tiles to get him to Jesus because they had faith. Jesus could and would do something if they just got him there. Hold your corner means having faith. God honors faith because faith honors God. You trusting him and depending upon he will do something. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, right? By faith. Look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Look at verse 30. 14:30. Remember Peter walking on the water? Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But even little faith, the moment he cried out, Jesus didn't wait until he was almost gurgling underwater. Immediately, he says, he stretched out his hand and grabbed him. And that's what he can do for any sinner out there. He says, Lord, save me. And he reaches out and he grabs him and saves him. Because he can do that. And he will do that. I'm not saying he can do that. He will do that. Jesus wants to save people more than you do. And more than I do. He wants to save sinners. Have faith he'll do that. Really, our weak faith many times, we only bring him to the door. We never take him up on the roof. It's our weak faith. We don't go the extra mile. We're all, at times, just back off and say, I think I've done enough. Jesus doesn't. This person's not going to get saved. It's not Jesus' fault. Yes, that person has their own will. That palsied man couldn't do anything, but they just kept having faith that if they got him to Jesus, something was going to happen. And something will happen. Palsied man was looking for healing, and they knew where to take him. We need to have faith. Just trust in God and show it with our works. It's almost like taking a step. Each step is, this is faith, but you don't stay on this one foot. You fall over. So you move to the next one, works. Faith and works, they go together. You see, faith, it's not all faith. And once you have faith, you do something about it. Faith moves and does something. Faith takes action. And it's not all works. You got to trust that God's going to do something. Faith and works. Amen. So, we need to trust that God's going to do something. Look at, in Mark chapter 2, look in verse 9. Jesus said, remember they started to reason in their hearts? He said, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Now, which is easier? Why did he say that? To forgive sins or to make a palsied man walk? I mean, only God can do each one of these things. But as far as Jesus was concerned, what they were thinking, who is this man that thinks he can forgive sins? He said, just for your benefit. I mean, it's like me walking over to Kathy, your sins are forgiven. I can't forgive sin. But Jesus could. Your sins are forgiven. What do you people see?
Nothing.
You only see a person who supposedly their sins are forgiven. That's why Jesus said, but that ye may know, in verse 10, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of palsy man, rise up and walk. Now they had something to see. And when the palsy man rose up and walked and took his bed, they went, whoa. That's why they said, we never saw this before. This is God. Only God can forgive sins. Only God can heal a man like that. See, it's easy to say, your sins are forgiven, John. No, take a palsied man, make him stand up. Maybe they'll start looking at the fact that Jesus could forgive sins. You see? But we got to have faith. We got to have faith in the power of God's word. It's our faith that God can do the impossible if we'll just bring people to Jesus. And finally, holding your corner means we need to be different. And we need to do differently. You know, in Mark chapter 2, in verse the last line there in verse 12, it says, we never saw it all in this fashion. We just never seen this before. This was amazing. I mean, we heard Jesus preach this gospel, and we saw the roof taken off. We saw a palsied man walk. This man could forgive sins. We had never seen it like this before. It was different. People being healed and forgiven. They said, we never saw it on this fashion before. The world needs to see Christians also who are different. Something different. They don't need to see the same thing that they see every day. Walking on the streets of Cork or Ballincollig or anywhere. They need to see something different. So they can say, never saw it on that fashion before. That person's different in some way. Something that as you carry a life-changing message, you carried in a life-changed. That they see that you're different. That God has transformed your life. And you carry forth a life-changing message. Really, the lips need to be backed up by the life. We need both. People, have to be changed. And the power of the gospel can do that. But we need to be different. We need to be salty. Remember Matthew 5:13 says, you have the salt of the earth. We need to be salty. We need to be something, give people a thirst for God. So holding your corner means you're going to have to be different. They're going to have to see something different in you. You may not always get a chance to talk to them. But when you do, at least it's coming from a life that has been transformed before their eyes. This person's different. How did you get so different? And then you get a chance to tell them. We never saw them on this fashion. Turn to 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's such a powerful verse that it will never be preached to its fullest. But if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in it. If I love the world, the love of the Father is not in me. How in the world can I love a lost world if I don't have the love of the Father in me? If I'm after the things of the world. Hey, look, it doesn't matter whether you're 8 or 80. You can make a difference if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, not the world. When we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, we'll have the love of the Father in us. And He loves that world through us. We're not making an impact because we love the world's system. We love the way they do business. We love the toys and the entertainment. And we don't love God. We love the world and all the lusts of the world. We do. Come on. We're not different. That's why we're not winning more people to Christ. Ask yourself, it's December. How many people have you won to Jesus Christ this year? Why don't we make it a point that everybody in this room win one person to Jesus Christ? We'd have to set up the chairs over there.
Amen.
We need a bigger room, a building maybe.
Amen.
Come on. Every one of us in here can win one person to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If we hold our corner. It's not for a select few. Nobody has that power except Christ to save them. All we are is one beggar telling another beggar where he can get some bread. Just giving them the message. God saves them. But we don't even open our mouth. We won't live our life. We won't hold our corner. Finally, last verse, Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Verse 4. David. Well, verse 1 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. It says, He poured out His complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. Look at verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, this just struck me. I know David's talking to God about something in his life. But you know, I'm sure there's people out there saying, you know, nobody really cares about me. They really don't care about me. Why don't we care about them? Why don't we care enough to do something to help somebody come to Jesus Christ? Why don't we hold the corner? Where's our compassion for lost souls? No man cared for my soul. That's a sad statement. And, you know, I thought at one time, nobody cares about the condition I'm in. They don't care how messed up my life is. But there was somebody out there that cared. And I'm glad he cared. Because he changed my whole life by telling me about Jesus, who really did the work in me and changed me. What's the answer for this world? It's to let them see Jesus Christ. Is to just keep telling the old story and just hold your corner. You got to get the word out. You got to stand with the preacher. You got to work together. You got to compel them to come in. Don't let a roof get in your way. Pull the tile off. No obstacles. Realize there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. Have faith that God will do something and then be different. Be different. Who is accountable? To God. Here's the question. Who is accountable to God to warn this world of the reality of hell. Who? We are. We are. We as Christians are responsible. It's our duty. Let me just close by reading these verses. Mark chapter 2. I want to read to you verse 3 and 5. It says this. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Why did that happen? Because they held their corner. Let's pray.